We're going to be focusing for the next few moments on God's word for us today. We're in week two of a series that we have entitled Better Together. And there's just some things in life that are better together, and it's pop quiz time. I'm going to call out something, and you're going to fill in the blank of what's better together with that thing. You ready for this? Here we go. First one is law and
order.
Yeah, you got it. Okay. Burgers and? Yes. Tom and?
Jerry.
Cake and? Yeah, man, you guys are getting an A so far, but let's see if we can get this last one. Salt and?
Pepper.
What's the, there we go. We got two answers. Salt and pepper or salt and vinegar. All these things go better together. And what we're doing in this series is we're talking about relationships and our lives, and we're learning how to navigate them, how to explore them, how to better understand relationships. Now, last week, we discovered that God designed us to relate with each other and to relate with him. That we're supposed to do this together, that Jesus summed up all the law and the prophets with just two statements, that it boils down to this: love God and love people. We've never seen that phrase ever around this building, right? It's on the front door of our building. Love God, love people. That's what we're supposed to do. It's what we're designed to do. Now, we also talked about the two first followers of Jesus, Philip and Andrew, who, when they started following Jesus, they thought of someone else they wanted to follow Jesus with. Philip went to go find his best friend, Nathaniel, and Andrew went to go find his brother, Peter, and they became followers of Jesus well, and they did it together. And in light of that, we actually set aside the windows inside the lobby at the top of the stairs as a special spot where we put a big Better Together banner on it, and we provided these white window markers where we want you to write the names of people who you have in your life who you want to follow Jesus with. Maybe they're not following Jesus yet, or they're just right on the edge. Write their name. Allow us to pray for them, because we are better together. Now, today we're looking to answer this question: how do I find the one for me? Now, if you came today looking for peace, for hope, for purpose, for focus to your life, then I got some good news for you. There is hope found in Jesus. And today, at the end of this message, we're going to give you the opportunity to receive that hope. I'd like for you to grab your phone, pull out the Bible app. We're going to look together at one of the weirdest sounding names of a book in the Bible. It's called Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, we're going to chapter 4, reading on the New Living Translation. Now, when you came in today, you should have received some notes where you can follow along with today's message. There are some fill-in-the-blanks available for those. The answers are going to be up on the screen, and this is so that you stay awake during this message. It's also so you know how long I'm going to talk, and so that you at least know at some point I'm going to be finished, and that's okay, because we're going to have some fun here today with this topic of finding the one. Now, I want to say hi to those who are watching online. We are glad that you are watching. We want to know who it is that's watching with us. So if you wouldn't mind, take a moment right now and write in the comments below your name and maybe the names of those watching with you. And tell us where you're watching from. And our host will say hi to you this morning. So what do we need to know? First of all, that this book, Ecclesiastes, was written by a dude by the name of King Solomon. Now, King Solomon was the son of David, and he got the opportunity to ask God for anything in the world, and he asked God for wisdom. So God made him the smartest guy to ever live, and with that knowledge, with that wisdom, he wrote several books in the Bible. He wrote Proverbs, he wrote Song of Solomon, and he wrote Ecclesiastes. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, it's kind of this summation of this is how life works. And so we're going to listen right now to the words of the wisest guy to ever live, literally, and what he had to say about being together. So Ecclesiastes chapter 4, starting in verse 9, says this: two people are better than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Let's pray. God, I pray that as we unpack your word for us today, that you would help us. That you would help us to understand how we were designed and which relationship should be the most important one in our lives. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Now, speaking of better together, right now there are people coming forward with baskets of some food, some snacks today. That's better together. How about some cheese and crackers? So they're going to be passing out baskets of cheese and crackers. Pass them out to everybody there. These aren't just normal cheese and crackers. This is the name brand stuff. This is the good stuff. And you have permission to be eating them during the message because we just want you to begin associating in your head that there are things that are better together. Say it with me. Better together. There we go. There we go. Now, while you're getting those snacks, while you're opening them, while you're eating, while you're making a bunch of noise, I want to show you a clip from a movie called Ralph Breaks the Internet. And in this clip, the young girl, Vanellope, she busts into a room and surprised to meet who she's about to meet because she's meeting all of the Disney princesses. Let's take a look.
Sugar Rush Von Schweetzes. I'm sure you've heard of us, so it'd be embarrassing for you if you haven't.
What kind of a princess are you?
What kind?
Do you have magic hair?
No.
Magic hands?
No.
Do animals talk to you?
No.
Were you poisoned?
No.
Cursed?
No.
Kidnapped or enslaved?
No. Are you guys okay? Should I call the police?
And I have to assume you made a deal with an underwater sea witch where she took your voice in exchange for a pair of human legs?
No. Good Lord, who would do that?
Have you ever had true love's kiss?
Ew, barf!
Do you have daddy issues?
I don't even have a mom.
Neither do we.
And now for the million-dollar question. Do people assume all your problems got solved because a big, strong man showed up?
Yes! What is up with that?
She is a princess!
Oh, Disney, making fun of Disney. And in this clip, we see what are the requirements to be a Disney princess? One, you gotta not have a mom. And two, you have to wait for some big, strong guy to come rescue you, and that makes you a princess. And it's interesting how they Disney puts this out as the way, as they say, this is the way that things are. But last week, we learned that we were not made to be alone. And when we are not with others, we are lonely. And so the question really is, which relationship in our lives really ends our loneliness? You see, we're wired to look for a mate, a special someone. We long to be in a relationship with the one. This is God's design for us, that we would find someone and that we would get married. Jesus talked about it in Matthew chapter 19 when he said, "Haven't you read in your Bible that the Creator originally made man and woman for each other, male and female? And because of this, a man leaves father and mother and is firmly bonded to his wife, becoming one flesh, no longer two bodies, but one." And in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22, it says, "Find a good spouse and you find a good life, and even more, the favor of God." And in Proverbs 31, verse 10, it says, "A good woman is hard to find and worth far more than diamonds." You see, the way how God made us is that we all desire to love and to be loved. And we sing songs about this. We listen to love songs. They put us in a special spot because we're always thinking about that person that would complete us, that would finish us, that would be there for us. Maybe our Prince Charming or our princess. We're about to watch a melody of love songs through the decades. And while we're watching this, I want you to just think about, and it's okay to smile, it's okay to make some noise, it's something that if it sparks something, you're like, oh, I got some memories when I heard that song. And let's just enjoy this for a second, because love's a cool thing. Let's take a look.
All you need is love.
It's for the way you look at me.
O is for the one I see.
V is very, very extraordinary.
you see. I hope you don't mind.
I hope you don't mind
that I put down in words how wonderful life is. Now you're in the world.
This will be an everlasting love. This will be what I've waited for. This will be the first time anyone has loved me. Whoa.
I just called to say I love you.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. Maybe some of those sparks of memories for you, some of you are thinking, eh, that's our song. Yeah. Whether it's classic, whether it's modern, doesn't matter. We love love because God put this desire in us to love and to be loved. He made us like this. And we have a picture in our mind of what it would look like to be together. And in that picture, we picture that everything's going to be better when we're together with someone. But sometimes, it seems like we will never find anyone. It can appear like we missed our window. We wonder if we will always be single. Like, there's some of us that panic to say, oh, I finished college and I didn't find someone, so now it's hopeless. How am I ever going to? And we worry. We worry when the waiting is too long. And why? Because waiting doesn't match the picture in our mind of what this is supposed to look like. And this isn't just about people who are looking for a mate. It's also about people who have already found a mate and you're like, maybe I picked wrong. This is not the person I thought I was going to be. They're not living up to my expectations. Or maybe you're no longer with someone. You're like, will I ever find love again? And you're like, I don't know if it's ever going to come. We wait and we wait because our love life does not match the picture of what we see in our mind. Now, 2 months ago, there was someone in this church family who approached me and they said, Pastor, I got a message for you. It's from my mother-in-law. You see, his mother-in-law watches us online and, when she watched online, she's like, I need you to tell Pastor Ryan a message. You better promise me you're going to sell him this message. He's like, gulp, okay. And he comes to me. He's like, just please remember, Pastor, this is not my message. It's my mother-in-law's message. You know, the in-law part, right? Okay. And so I'm like, bring it on. What's he got? And he said, here's the message. She said, Pastor, you need to lose some weight. I'm like, what? You know, what? You have the guts to say that? Why? Why would you say that? That's not nice. You know, what happened to the whole, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all, right? Right. And here she confronted me with the truth of the picture. And I'm like, okay, I got to see this for myself. And so I watched myself in a live stream up here. And I'm like, that is not the guy I'm picturing up here that I am. Who is that? And so what I did is like, I'm going to have to change this picture because this doesn't match. And so I contacted someone to be a health coach and I started following a plan. And let me just tell you, the first 4 weeks were amazing because every day I would get up onto that scale and the number would go down. And it was like, yes, the picture I saw, that number going down, I was like, I can keep motivated to doing this, to starve myself and allow my body to eat itself, right? And for the first 4 weeks, it was amazing because it kept on going down and down. And it's like, yes, this is awesome. And then the last 2 weeks, every time I got up on the scale, it didn't move. I'm like, what? I can't keep doing this. These granola bars are not that good. I can't do this. And I was losing my motivation. I'm thinking my scale is broken because I was losing tons of weight and now I'm not. And this is not the picture of me sacrificing to see those numbers not move. I'm not having it. It wasn't matching up. The picture wasn't matching up. And back at the beginning of the Bible, the first book of Genesis, there's a story of a couple whose life was not matching up to the way they thought it was going to be. Their names were Abraham and Sarah. You see, in those times, it was considered that when you got married and you got together, you had children and you had lots of them, and you were blessed the more children that you had, and they had none. And they lived their lives, and they were very old. They had probably missed their window, you know, biological clock ticking and all, where they were not going to have kids. Now, they had each other. They had love, and they also loved God. And God saw them and also saw what they really wished for. And so God met with Abraham and said, hey, here's the deal. I see you. I love that you love me. Here's my promise to you. You're going to have a kid. You and your wife together, you're going to have a kid. As a matter of fact, you're going to have descendants. And your descendants are going to be way numerous. They're going to be more than the stars in the sky and the sands on the beach. Abraham and Sarah are like, this is awesome. Yes, God heard our prayers. It's amazing. Okay, when's it going to happen? And is it happening yet? And the thing was, it didn't happen. Time went on, and they were waiting. And the picture of what they thought it was going to be wasn't matching up to the picture of their reality. And they're like, something's wrong here. Maybe we missed God. Maybe we missed this window. Maybe we did something wrong. Maybe we're supposed to help God out. You know, when we are waiting like that and we're wondering where's God and when our life is not matching the picture, what we have in our mind, we begin to worry. And when we worry, we do stupid things. We jump the gun. We skip to the end. We make bad decisions, poor choices. We try to figure things out and we mess things up. We compromise. We lower our standards. Because the waiting is too long and we worry. And that was the case for Abraham and Sarah. They're like, maybe we missed God. Maybe we're supposed to help him out. And so I thought, well, maybe he didn't mean exactly for my old wife to have the kid. Maybe it's supposed to be with her young servant. And that really messed things up. And that wasn't God's plan. And God still came through. And guess what? Sarah got pregnant in her old age, and they had a son. They named him Isaac. And it was a miracle. And it was amazing. God came through. But because they couldn't handle the waiting, they messed things up. They worried. For me, stepping onto that scale, I mean, what are the odds that you could go 5 days in a row and the exact same number to the ounce is the same on that scale? I mean, that's got to be like proof it's broken. And so I contacted my health coach. I said, I'm done. This ain't worth it. I can't do this. This is not the picture what I had in mind. You said I'd lose weight. I'm not losing weight. He's like, Ryan, hold on, hold on. Maybe something's happening that you don't realize. Maybe it's not just about a number on a scale, and your scale's probably not broken, but this is normal. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take some measurements. Measure your body, your waist, your chest, your arms, your leg, your hips. Measure it and tell me what you find. And I found that in the last couple weeks where the scale didn't really go down, it barely went down, but there were inches falling off my body. That something was happening even though I wasn't aware of something happening. It wasn't exactly the picture I thought it was going to be, but the results were still the same. You see, I'm excited to be able to stand in front of you now saying I'm trying to present the smaller version of Pastor Ryan. Hopefully those watching online don't see the big version of Pastor Ryan. Someone in the last service sent me a screenshot of 2 months ago compared to a screenshot today. It's like two different people. And that's cool because in 6 weeks, I've lost 27 pounds and 19 and a half inches. Yeah. And I'm not done yet because this is not the picture of where I'm going. So that means I still got to eat gross chocolate shakes and granola bars. Blah. And my family had pizza last night, my favorite thing in the world, you know. But here's the deal. I didn't need to worry. But thank God I had a coach who stepped in and said, hey, just hold on, you're okay. And sometimes maybe we need that in our lives when we're waiting for true love, we're waiting for the one, and we're like, I'm anxious and I want to have it now, and I probably missed my window. And I'm just here to say, hey, can I be coach? And say, just hold on, it's going to be okay. Let's get our priorities right. Let's get everything straight. Let's do this God's way. And maybe you're already in a relationship, and maybe you're already married, and your things aren't working out exactly how you thought they were going to work out because they're not living up to your expectation of the one, and you're thinking, you know what? I thought I got this person because they were cute, and they're no longer cute anymore, so what do I do? And that didn't work. Or maybe I thought they were nice, and they're no longer nice. Or maybe I thought that they got their life together, and whoa, yeah, when I looked under the hood, everything's broken, right? It's not working. Everything's not working. And we're wondering, what do I do? Let me be coach and say, it's okay. How about we focus on God's perspective in this area when it comes to who we live our life with? You see, when the waiting is too long, when our relationships don't match our picture for how it should look, we get out of focus. And sometimes we need to stop the craziness and ask ourselves, are we placing a relationship with someone over our relationship with God? You know, we asked earlier, which relationship in our life takes away the loneliness that we feel? And let me just tell you, no person is going to take away the loneliness you feel on the inside. The only way that gets taken away is a relationship with Jesus. Jesus is the answer to that loneliness. Now, that doesn't mean that we are not supposed to be with somebody. Yes, we are, but that person does not replace the loneliness. God's the answer with this. In Psalms 37, verse 4, it says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires, putting him first. Jesus spent some time, it's recorded in Matthew chapter 6, giving this message on the side of a mountain. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. But in this message, he addresses worry, why we worry and what we worry about. And he's saying, don't worry. And here's what he says. Here's what you got to do instead. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. And he will give you everything you need, talking about God, and God will give you everything you need. See, the answer is to put God as number one, that he should be the relationship. If there is the one is Jesus. That's who our identity is found in. That's who solves the loneliness that we feel inside. That's who we need to concentrate on. But then, as we surround ourselves with people in our lives that we experience life with, that we possibly even have as a mate or a spouse, those people should help us grow in Jesus. Those are the kind of relationships we need. And so if there's something we need to decide here at this moment, if there's something we need to resolve in our hearts and say, this is how I'm going to change, this is how I'm going to think, this is what I'm going to do, it's got to be this, that I will pursue relationships that help me grow closer to God. So how do we know if someone is the one? Is there even a such thing? Well, I found a friend who's got a cool perspective of this and how he debunks the idea of there only being just one. Let's take a look at what he has to say.
How do you know someone's the one? Now, this might depress someone and this might, you know, make some of you, like, lose the Disney-type fairy tale dream, but I don't think there's such a thing. Now, why do I say that? First is, just logically, if there is the one, then if a guy 3,000 years ago married the wrong person who wasn't the one, that means he must have tore down the lineage all the way down into history because he married someone else's one, and that person has to marry someone else's one. And so it just doesn't logically work, because if there's one, and if one person messes it up, then it doesn't work anymore. And secondly, I've realized that it puts way too much pressure on the other person. Usually the girl's the one that kind of has that idea of I'm looking for the one and looking for that perfect person. And what happens is you uphold this ideal that only Jesus and God can satisfy, and then you put a burden on that guy that he cannot bear, and it crushes him. No matter how good he is to you, no matter how much he serves you, you want him to be even a little bit more. Just a little bit more, do a little bit better. And so the truth is, for guys and girls out there, it's not about finding the one, it's about preparing yourself to be the one. There's no such thing as the one. You don't have to struggle with the pressure of trying to think there is the one and that God's gonna get mad at you if you pick the wrong one. And concentrate on yourself. Put yourself in church community. Surround yourself with awesome people who help you grow and help you learn. Try to say, how can I become a person that will better serve that spouse? Because what happens is, if you believe in that one, then when they mess up or when they do something that makes you mad, you kind of are a slave to them because you always react to it. So if you believe in that kind of idol of a person, of a guy or a girl, when they mess up or when you get in an argument, you get depressed or you struggle or it makes you sad. But if you're resting and putting your identity in who God is and how he's lined you up to be with him, then when that person does mess up or does fail you, because your identity is not in that person but in God, you can give them grace, you can give them forgiveness, and you can give them love. But if you're attached to them as your identity, you can never do that. You always react based upon what they do. If you're in church community, if you have a good group of godly mentors, people above you, and if you're not in any unrepentant sin, no secret sin, and you're just being transparent and walking with Jesus and Bible study and in prayer, pick whoever you want. You don't have to have that pressure. Because the truth is, it's not about finding the one, it's just about treating that person with love, grace, forgiveness, and mercy. And you can do that with anyone. You can do that with this person, or that person. And it takes all this pressure off and all this burden off the relationship. And so when you understand that God gives you freedom to choose when you're living in community, you're living in intimacy with him, then what happens is you start to notice people in your life who might make a good partner to be on mission with you to do what God has called you to do.
Paul wrote in the New Testament to the church in Corinth about marriage, about relationships. He was fixing a lot of issues. And one of the things I love about Paul's letters in the New Testament is that there's some weird stuff that he writes about. Unless you take this piece of knowledge, the churches were dealing with these problems. And so he had to address them, that these were real life situations going on back then that he was addressing. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he was addressing marriage. He was addressing just how satisfied are you with it, on whether you have someone or whether you don't, and how good is it or how bad is it, or whether you're lonely or whether you're with someone. And here's what Paul had to say to the church in Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 17, Message translation, says this: don't be wishing you were someplace else or with someone else. Where you are right now is God's place for you. Live and obey and love and believe right there. God, not your marital status, defines your life. See, it's not about finding the one. There's no person that's going to take away the loneliness. Only Jesus can. Focus on your relationship with God and surround yourself with people who help you grow with God. And it will work out exactly as God intended it. But our focus has to be in the right place. When the waiting's too long, hold on. Hold on. Doesn't mean God's not working. Doesn't mean God's forgot about you. Doesn't mean God doesn't hear you or God has forsaken you. Hold on. I'm going to invite you to bow your heads, to close your eyes as we spend a few moments talking to God. God, we're so thankful that you love us and that you designed us in your image, which meant that we have this desire to love and to be loved. And God, that plays out in multiple ways in our life, that we spend time trying to find that someone who's going to fill the emptiness, that loneliness in our lives. But there's no one person who can do that. We recognize that it all begins with you and it all ends with you. That we were designed to be in relationship with you, that you're supposed to be number one. When you're number one, you promised us you would take care of everything that we need, that you would see our heart's desires. And just like you took care of Abraham and Sarah, we know that you can take care of us when it comes to our relationships. Help us to not hurry. Help us to not do something stupid as we're tired of waiting or we begin to worry about if we'll ever get there. God, help those who are in relationships right now. May wondering, why am I in this place or what's this going on? This is not what I expected. God, I pray that we would refocus off of a person and focus on you. God, we know that that one in our life is you, and the relationship with you solves everything. So help us, God, not to worry. Help us, God, to be patient. Help us, God, to focus on you. Help us, God, to surround ourselves with people who point us to you. May your plan come true in our lives, even when it comes to love. Help us, God, in Jesus' name. And while our heads are still bowed, our eyes still closed, I'm reminded that just a few moments ago, we said, if you came today looking for hope, we said, hope is found in Jesus, and we give you the opportunity to receive that hope at the end, and here we are. We've been talking about it all this time, about that it's God who needs to be number one in our lives. We were designed to have a relationship with him, but here's the deal. We can't. We can't be forgiven for the sin in our lives. The Bible says that we have all messed up, that we all fall short of God's standard, that we all have sinned. We're born with it. And no matter how good we are, no matter how hard we try, we can't gain our own salvation. We can't gain our own forgiveness. Only God could do that. But God made a way when there was no way. He said, I'm sending my son because I love you guys. And I want to be in relationship with you. And Jesus lived on this planet, but he had a mission. He was to die. To live a perfect life so that when he died, he did not pay the penalty for his own sin, but he could take on our sin and redeem us, to set us free, to pay the price for us. But now the ball's in our court. The work's already been done. The mission is successful. It's waiting for you. You can be forgiven. You can be set free. You can become a part of God's family. You can have that emptiness, that loneliness inside taken away and filled with what needs to be there in Jesus inside. I say, how do I do that, Pastor? What do I got to do? Well, the Bible describes there's two parts of this. First is that we've got to make a decision as we talk to God. We call that prayer. And secondly, we got to let people know that we made that decision. We got to go public with the faith and decision we just made. We call that water baptism. The first part deals with God and our relationship with him. The second part deals with God and our relationship with others, because we're designed to do this together. We are better together. We're better together with God. We're better together with each other. But I want to help you today with this prayer, this conversation with God. You see, as part of this prayer, we got to first acknowledge that we're messed up, that we have sin. We got to say, I'm sorry. Secondly, we got to believe. We got to believe that Jesus paid the price for us on the cross. We got to claim that what he did was for us. Did you take it personally? And third, you got to go all in. You got to say yes to God, no to yourself. Say, God, I'll follow you. If your life was a car, it'd be like throwing him the keys, say, you drive. I got shotgun from here on out. You give him the wheel. You put him in charge. You make him the boss. And it's when you say that prayer, when you make that decision, that's the moment that it changes. That's the moment that says that God says, I forgive you. It's in that moment that God says, I have saved you. I have redeemed you. That you're now a part of my family. That you know, that you know, that you know that if you were to pass on from this life today, for here on out, you'd spend eternity with him in heaven. And when just one person prays that prayer, makes that decision, the Bible describes that all the angels in heaven stop what they're doing. They throw a big party and says, another one has come home. Because that's why Jesus came to this planet. So I want to lead you in that prayer. I want to help you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray that prayer in bite-sized pieces out loud. I'm going to ask you to repeat it after me. But you're not going to have to pray it alone. I'm going to invite everyone as a part of this Focus family, even those watching online, to pray this prayer with us. Because this is what we do at Focus Church. We are focused on helping people find God's place in their life. This is the most important thing we can ever do, is give the opportunity for someone to say yes to Jesus. And so let's pray right now. Say, dear God, I'm sorry for the sin of my life. I need you. I believe you love me so much. You sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. I want to live for you with you in charge. Give me hope. Give me freedom. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name, amen.